When you're in your 20s, having a wild time, you tend not to be thinking too much about the future. And one thing you don't see coming is that somewhere down the track you'll be out shopping for a wig because your hair has fallen out with the chemo. If you've been through cancer or you've seen someone grapple with it, you'll know that the treatment can be as confronting as the illness. For Jessica Jones, life was almost perfect. Then she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as it happened, there was a bit more besides. Jessica's written about this in The Elegant Art of Falling Apart, and she joins me on the line now from London. Welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Richard.
Now, you say life was almost perfect. Just describe your world at that point for me.
I was just feeling like I knew myself. You know, I'd got to a point where my work was going well, my life was very stable, I had a lot of friends, you know, a nice home, all the kind of things that just made me feel comfortable. And then I met a wonderful man, and I thought, well, this is just fabulous now. Everything is falling into place.
So you've got to this good place, and, well, before your diagnosis, you write that you knew two things about cancer. It doesn't hurt, and it happens to other people. But it had actually affected your life before that, hadn't it?
Yes, my very lovely cousin, Gabrielle, died just the year before of cancer. It was horrific. She got ill very suddenly and very quickly, and she only survived 3 months after her diagnosis. And it was just such a horrible shock to all the family. We've not had any cancer in my family. And then suddenly, you know, this beautiful woman was just taken away. And it was shocking.
Yeah. So what was your diagnosis?
I was diagnosed with breast cancer, which I would really like to say to everyone is very survivable these days. But, you know, I was horrified, obviously, because I didn't know anything about it. You know, I just heard the word cancer, and I thought, well, that's it. You know, that's my lot. And I never thought it would happen to me. Never for one instance did I entertain the idea that I would get breast cancer. And so when the doctor told me that that's very much what she suspected, I thought she was talking to someone else. You know, I looked over my shoulder and think, who are you talking to?
So what was the procedure? What did you have to go through?
Oh, well, then I had to have a lot of scans and a lot of, you know, like an avalanche of hospital appointments. And when it was all confirmed, they got me in very quickly and I had surgery to remove the two tumours. And that was quite major. And then they discovered that the cancer was in my lymph nodes, so they strongly recommended that I have a course of chemotherapy, which is a very violent treatment and makes people very ill. And you know, all my hair fell out and all that stuff. And then I had a course of radiotherapy, and now I'm taking a course of hormonal therapy. So, you know, a lot of different things, really.
With the chemo, the losing of the hair, that really shook you, didn't it?
It really did, and it was surprising how much it did. But I've talked to many women. In fact, I was at my follow-up group today, and women there were saying how that was the worst aspect of it. Having one's identity stripped away like that is really confronting. And, you know, for me, it happened when I was having a bath and my hair was really itchy and I thought, I've got to wash it, I have to wash it. And I washed my hair and it just came out in my hands like a big mop. And I was sitting in the bath with my hair in my hands.
Yes, which is not where it's supposed to be.
No.
And that brings me to your blog, actually, Chemo Chic. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I was going through all this sort of trauma and illness and everything, and people kept saying, oh, you should write a journal, you should write a blog. And I just thought, no way, you know, I wouldn't. The idea of reading someone's cancer blog to me was worse than looking at their holiday photos or something, you know. But I got into the car one day with a friend of mine, and he said, you're really working the Chemo Chic look today. And I thought, that's it, you know, it's actually, I can write from my perspective about cancer and fashion, because that's just too ridiculous for words. And so, you know, I started writing Chemo Chic, and then I just couldn't stop. I was writing about hair and wigs and beauty products and all kinds of things that I wanted to know about. And then, you know, I kind of found out that other people wanted to know about those things as well.
Yes. Now, the buying of the wig, that turned into a big deal, didn't it?
It was quite a palaver, yes, the getting of the wig. Because in Britain, one is entitled to a free wig on the National Health Service. But it was quite a complicated procedure because I was in a private hospital and my GP had to write a letter to my local NHS hospital to give me a wig, and then they didn't want to give me the wig, and then they changed their mind, and then the voucher for the wig got lost in the post, and my friend Iris was going bananas saying, when are we going to get this wig? I'm dying to go to the wig shop. So it took about 3 weeks to get the wig, but finally we got something fabulous.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Jessica Jones, and we've been talking about her experience with breast cancer. She's written about this in The Elegant Art of Falling Apart. There's more to it than the illness, as you're about to hear. So through all this, where was the fabulous man?
Well, he was with me in London when I was diagnosed. He was due to go back to Sydney just after I was diagnosed, and then when it all happened, he decided to stay on whilst I went through the surgery and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back for a few weeks in the autumn whilst I had the radiotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he returned to Sydney just before Christmas. I flew out to join him on Boxing Day.
So by this stage, you'd had, what, 6 or 7 months of treatments? And Australia is really home, isn't it? It's where you're from originally.
Yes, yes.
And so the plan was to, what, have a bit of a holiday?
Yeah, we booked a three-month holiday. I was just going to sort of do nothing, travel around Australia, go to the beach, get well, get over it all, really. I'd never had a holiday like that in my life, and I just thought, wow, this is the time to have the holiday of a lifetime.
Hire a camper van and go to Tasmania.
Hire the camper van, you know, all the things that I've never done, and I was really excited about it. You know, just the idea of going in a camper van was so much fun.
And what actually happened?
Well, I arrived and then, well, basically about 6 hours after I arrived, I discovered my ex-boyfriend deleting texts from his mobile phone, and I just asked him straight out what he was doing, and he kind of just looked at me and told me he had been seeing someone else in the few weeks since he'd been in London.
Right.
Very strange.
Yes.
And then he ended our relationship.
Did you have anywhere else to go at that point?
No, I didn't. I just landed and I was staying with him, and my mother lives in Tasmania now, so it was just, you know, it was impossible to get flights. It was Boxing Day. I didn't have any, you know, much money. I was quite stuck, really. And so I had to stay with him for a few days, which was incredibly difficult.
Yes. This must have felt like a double whammy. I mean, you kind of feel like you've done the staring of death in the face, and now this.
It was pretty shocking. More than anything else, it was so disappointing. You know, I felt like, you know, the cancer was very, very difficult, obviously.
Mm.
But I always felt I could get through it. You know, I always felt that, you know, I had as much support as I needed, and you know, I would do everything I could to get well. But this was a different thing. This was like really being kicked when I was down, and I didn't know how to recover from it, and I didn't know how to cope with it, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I just lost all my confidence and self-belief, and I felt like I'd been robbed of this wonderful chance to get well.
So what did that do to you? Because, you know, everything was almost perfect, and you met the man, and then you get crook, and then this happens. I mean, people have complex reactions to these sorts of situations, and one of them, of all things, can be guilt.
Well, I did feel guilt and shame, you know, terrible shame. I felt like it was my fault somehow, and that I must have done something, and that somehow it was, you know, that I was inadequate, or I blamed myself. And I went round and round and round in my head trying to figure out, you know, what I could have done differently. Why has this happened? And I kept questioning myself until I got to the point where I kind of, you know, I was tearing myself to pieces. And that's the nature of shame. It's the kind of feeling that there's something fundamentally wrong with me and I don't know what it is and I can't fix it.
Did you get to a point where you realised you can't fix how you are emotionally by yourself, you need help?
Yeah, I did. And at that point I put myself into a rehab, which is basically a psychiatric hospital. And I'm very glad I did that because, you know, for quite a while I was trying to stand up to it all and thinking I should be able to cope with this, I should be stronger than this, I should be able to take these blows. And actually that was a form of insanity, thinking that I could do that on my own. You know, if I'd been with a lot of friends and all of that, it may have been a little bit different, but the combination of having just had the cancer, being far away from my friends and support systems,
yes,
and the breakup was kind of a perfect storm, and I couldn't cope with it at all, and I really had an emotional breakdown. But I got help, and I went to a wonderful place, and they just kind of held me and helped me to see that it wasn't my fault.
No.
And that I wasn't crazy or broken or even depressed necessarily, but that I was suffering from an enormous amount of loss and grief. And that just helped me to get it in perspective.
So you went there and you got better and you realised actually that it wasn't your character that was an issue here, it was somebody else's. And, yeah, you get better. And you actually, in the book, you do something which I haven't seen, which is that you have lists and tips for those going through cancer treatment, even down to the best time to go in for radiation therapy.
Well, they're just things that I wish I'd known before. You know, I sort of, at one point, I thought of calling the book Everything I Wish I'd Known a Year Ago. There's so many little things that can make such a difference when, you know, when I was feeling so rotten all the time. And just to know that had I had my radiotherapy appointments in the morning, I probably wouldn't have had to spend so much time sitting in waiting rooms. To me, that was something that would have been worth knowing. I didn't know that, so I wanted to tell other people.
That's a good thing to tell other people, I think. That's something helpful.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give them medical advice.
No, no.
Tell them, you know, about some snake oil miracle cancer cure or something, because I think all that stuff just drives you mad.
As far as your health with regard to the cancer now, have you got the all clear, or where are you, Jessica?
Well, I'm still having follow-ups and scans on a regular basis, but so far they're all clear. And you know, the longer that goes on, the better it is. I will have follow-ups for 5 years, so another 3 years basically.
All right.
But it's all looking really good.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's an amazing read, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That's Jessica Jones, and her book, The Elegant Art of Falling Apart, is published by Hachette. And look, we'll put a link on the website to both more information on the book and indeed to the blog I mentioned, Chemo Chic, which you'll find if you go to our website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. Tomorrow on Life Matters, Sybil. Now, I don't know if you remember this case. I remember hearing about it when I was still at school. I must have been nearly finished it. This idea of a woman with multiple personalities. I think there were 16 different personalities that were identified. It turns out to be an elaborate hoax, and we're going to tell you a bit more about that tomorrow, how it was done, why it was done. And also, the journalist and environmental activist Indira Naidoo will be in to talk about her passion for growing food. She's an inner city dweller. She grows it on her balcony. She's quite evangelical about this. Hope you can join me for that tomorrow. The news is next, 10 o'clock.